This is CliffCentral.com.
What's happening, bitches?
Oh, so much. So
on.
Much is going on in the world.
Tell us more.
Another
tell
small
us more.
Achievement for Saudi women.
Yes, yeah. I broke this story. I'm sorry I stole it from you, Leanne. It's a big story. It's very important, and I ruined it for you.
Saudi Arabia women can now travel without permission.
Oh, how lucky for them.
I mean, come on. WTF, guys. They can also travel without a male guardian accompanying them or approving of their traveling.
Oh, that's so nice.
Wow.
The little things that count, you know.
Wow.
Landmark reform eroding the long-standing guardianship system that renders adult women as legal minors and allows their guardians or husband, father, or other male relatives to exercise arbitrary authority over them.
That
so
country.
Now, if a woman submits an application for a passport, it will be granted without having her husband having to say yes.
Mm. How fantastic for what lucky Saudi women.
And they can now leave the country without anyone's permission.
Huh. It's the little things.
Leave and don't go back.
When did you last leave the country without permission, Leanne?
I mean, come on.
You mean you travel? Outrageous. What is this?
So they're now allowed to drive and travel.
Oh.
The world is their oyster.
It's just, you know, we take so many things for granted. It's so crazy that there's a country where women have to ask the permission of some dude, their father, their husband, even their son sometimes, if their father and husband aren't around, before they're allowed to travel. They have to get written permission. Like a school teacher gives a child permission to go from class to class.
Jesus. And it makes you realize, having been on overseas trips, etc., that you'd never see a Saudi woman traveling on her own.
You don't?
Or a group of friends.
Yeah, no. They're always men in their company.
You don't see that. It's terrible. It is just terrible.
Did I tell you the story? Oh, I did. Of a Canadian company which is now... you can now subscribe as
you know
a woman
what?
In Saudi Arabia.
Thoughts.
Yes,
yeah.
Okay, they're gathered.
Okay. Yeah.
All right, I'll use my words. There's a phone number that Saudi Arabian women can phone.
Yes,
and it instantly subscribes them to a phone service, which they will receive a call at no extra cost and receive education, learn how to read.
Oh, that's
because
outrageous.
Remember, I did say most Saudi Arabian women in the rural areas, so emotional, can only count to the number of goats that they have under their care.
I think that's really terrible.
It's so silly.
What sort of quality of life do you have like that? Yeah. It reminds me of... No, if you Google it, it's called the City of Widows in India. It's Vrindavan. It's this known city in India now where widows are just like forced to live there because now you have been a mother, you've been a wife, and if your husband dies or once your kids have moved out, you are looked at in society as having...
You're rendered useless.
Little or no value.
Yeah.
And all of these widows flock to the city, and all they do every single day is, if they have some sort of money and they are able to, you know, sustain themselves, good for them. But for majority of the women there, they have to live in shelters or live on the street, and they have to pray and beg. I've just watched an insert once before about this.
It reminds me again of The Handmaid's Tale, which is a really great TV series.
Yeah,
where the women... The handmaids are not allowed to read. They're not allowed to see words. So,
yeah, but I kind of agree with that.
What?
These women who are educated, they become a real problem.
So when they go to grocery shops, the tinned chicken soup doesn't say that. It's just a picture of a chicken.
Oh, no.
Because they're
really
not allowed to read any words. Oh,
it's almost like if you are in such an extreme circumstance like that, and I get that Handmaid's Tale is fictional, but if you are in a cult or whatever the case is where you know nothing else, I would say that's at least better because you know no better. if you are in a society where you know there are possibilities and you have access to the media and you see what's going on in the world, and or like in India where you once had a full enriched life and you get that taken away from you, imagine what that does to you as a person in your own self-esteem. I think it's horrible. Horrible, horrible, horrible.
Oh, goodness me. Well,
tell me more about these Saudi women. Are they allowed to take a dump without permission?
Probably not. Someone probably stands outside the bathroom. It's just infuriating. On another note...
Are you tired of them?
Yeah.
I wanted to hear more, but okay.
No, I'm done. The Duchess of Sussex.
Who's that, Meghan Markle?
That's her.
With the sparkle.
Yes.
She's revealed her favorite poem.
Yes.
Ooh.
Which
and
is it?
And it contains the F-bomb.
Is it some feminist poem?
It's a body positive poem.
Uh-oh. But she's not fat. What is she worrying about body positive?
She probably has her own issues.
I don't know.
And body positive doesn't necessarily refer to fat.
You see her
maybe
swanning
around.
Maybe
you've got boobs that face each other, or maybe you've got a really big vagina and need to wear a jock strap.
Boobs that face each other.
Maybe you've got a witch's nose. So it doesn't necessarily have to do with fatness.
I don't mind a witch's nose.
You
I
don't?
I just want to put that on record.
Okay, what about boobs that face each other?
No,
you mind that.
So the poem is by someone called Matt Haig. I'll give you some of it.
Oh, Matt.
Hello, I am the beach. I am created by waves and currents. I am made of eroded rocks. I exist next to the sea. I've been around for millions of years. I was around at the dawn of life itself. And I have to tell you something. I don't care about your body. I am a beach. I literally don't give a fuck.
Oh, that's her favorite poem?
What?
She hasn't read enough poems. That's a terrible poem.
Well, a lot of people have taken to...
Snaps.
Yeah, everybody do that.
A lot of people have taken to Twitter and said, is that not the worst poem? The most horrible poem that you've ever read?
Take that, Kipling.
Shame.
Jesus, that's bad. Really, that's Meghan Markle's favorite poem? She's doing the poet laureate's that's just outrageous. What an embarrassment.
I also have a poem. It's called I'm the Sky.
Why do I think this is also going to be shit?
Never mind. No, I'm not even going to go down.
So
that
the
road.
Reason why it was revealed is because she's been the guest editor of Vogue magazine for this month's edition.
Bet you they're sorry about that now.
Gareth, you are not even in this at all.
No,
you're not.
If that's, you know, there are such great poems. Keats, Kipling, Wordsworth. Shakespeare wrote beautiful poems and sonnets. I remember studying poetry at school, and I hate poems, but there are beautiful poems.
But let's look at it in context here. She's put it in Vogue.
And then?
The context is that it's a magazine that's telling women to be thin and have their boobs facing the right way.
Okay.
Well, I think every woman should aspire to that, frankly. And if you don't like me for it, then you know what?
Just the boobs part.
Just you at least get your tits in the right direction.
Yeah. Your nose.
Is that
give
too
or
much?
Take.
Is that too much to ask?
Well, these are all very trivial things when you think about the bigger picture.
Yeah.
Sia was talking earlier about being an amputee.
Which you laughed at.
And, well, it's just strange as well. And this is one of the reasons why I did have a giggle. But it's obviously quite.
This is a tragic story, and you are.
No, I tell you what's a tragic story is that this is Meghan Markle's favorite poem. Like, honestly, we could do so much better, people. Please, really. I mean, you're the Duchess of Sussex.
She should maybe.
I am a beach, and I don't give a fuck.
Maybe she should have not said it's her favorite.
Should have said, this is a great inspiring poem.
Summer's on the way.
For people who have big vaginas.
Yes.
That would have been good.
I don't think that would make the cover of Vogue.
My favorite, what's your favorite poem? Do you have a favorite poem? I'm putting you on the spot. Go on.
No, I just have I wouldn't call it a favorite poem. I just have a favorite line from a poem.
Go on.
By Maya Angelou. Snaps. The poem is called For Our Grandmothers. And the line is, I come as one and stand as 10,000. I think that's a powerful line. And it's an homage to people who've come before you and who've sacrificed a lot for you. And the fact that we should all remember that we are here and there are, you know, people who made it happen.
My favorite is To Autumn by John Keats.
Snap, snap, snap.
Listen to this. Season of mellow mists and fruitfulness, close bosom friend of the maturing sun, conspiring with him how to load and bless with fruit the vines that round the thatched eave runs. To bend with apples the mossed cottage tree. Okay, well, maybe you think mine is shit too.
No, I don't, it was so descriptive.
Right. I'm trying to remember the one that really got to me. I've tried to Google it and it's brought up some poem that's not the same one. It's the one about describing the soldiers at war and when they inhaled mustard gas.
Oh, I know who that is.
Yes.
Yeats. William Butler Yeats. Off the top of my head.
Yeah. Wow.
And it is called Dulce et Decorum Est Pro Patria Mori.
Ta-da! Because it's drama.
Da-da-da-da-da-da. I pulled that out of where? Out of my asshole. Do you want to see?
Yes.
Go on. How's that? Dulce et Decorum Est. Am I right?
Very, very good. But what's weird is that if I Google it, it says it's by Wilfred Owen.
Possibly. But I still got the name.
Bent double like old beggars under sacks. Yes. Knock-kneed, coughing like hags, we cursed through sludge. Till on the haunting flares we turned our backs, and toward our distant rest began to trudge. Men marched asleep. Many had lost their boots, but limped on, bloodshod. All went lame, all blind, drunk with fatigue, deaf even to the
this
hoots.
This is your favorite poem, you misery guts.
It touched a nerve.
Sure. I remember having to analyze this at school, and that's when I was convinced that I think we overanalyze things. Sometimes the poet just used road because it's an object, not road because it's a metaphor for how long they were thinking in life. And
no.
His
hanging face like a devil's, sick of sin.
That's your favorite?
Well, it's really, it jolts you. Obscene as cancer, bitter as the cud of vile.
Oof.
Incurable sores on innocent tongues.
Wow.
You know, it's powerful stuff.
And then compare
hectic
that to the Duchess's.
Yeah, it's hectic, man.
Yarra but.
And then the Duchess's is, I'm a beach.
I'm a beach. Fuck you, or whatever.
The reason why I brought up the amputees again is because I saw a horror story of a woman who woke up, didn't know where she was.
Yeah.
She found that her legs and arms had been amputated.
Oh, no, this is the worst. This is my worst fear, is that I'll go in for an operation on my appendix and I'll end up coming out without any legs and arms. Oh, my God, this is sad. There's a picture of her with stumps trying to wipe her tears.
Mm-hmm. All she remembers is that she...
Hey, this is not funny.
All she remembers is that she was feeling a little bit sick. Oh. Right? No recollection other than that.
Before.
She then, this woman is from Ohio, Marie Trainer. Oh. She spent a total of 80 days in hospital, 10 days of which she was in a coma.
Oh, my God.
Why did she have her legs and arms amputated? She's contracted an intense infection from her dog's saliva.
Goodbye.
Uh-oh.
What?
How can man's best friend be after you like this?
Yeah, that's terrible.
She says, my dog licked me. My dogs lick me all the time.
Oof. But come on, there must be something seriously wrong with that dog. What's going on? Leanne, don't get us
hanging. She recalls feeling nauseous, having back pain. She thought it was the flu, but she knew it was much more severe when her temperature began to fluctuate. Her temperature went up and down, and that's when she was rushed to hospital. She underwent aggressive treatments, however, the condition worsened. Right. Within hours, she developed sepsis, which is the body's overwhelming and life-threatening response to infection that can lead to tissue damage, organ failure, and death. She was having new symptoms all the time. The symptoms were worsening. Oof. After no improvement, she was placed into a medically induced coma as her limbs began to deteriorate as a result of gangrene. When her blood tests came back, the results were shocking. She'd been diagnosed with capnocytophagia.
Oh, I knew someone who had that once.
That is a bacteria that lives in the mouths of dogs and cats.
I knew that.
It spreads to people through bites and scratches.
Jesus, that is horrible. This poor woman.
So in Marie's case, her team of doctors believe that her two dogs at home may have licked a small scrape on her arm. I just don't know what to do anymore.
Well, if you can't even pet your dog
without
being in huge mortal danger, oy, what is happening in this world?
Oh, gosh. She had blood clots and all sorts of things. They tried to remove as many as possible, but it was too late to save her limbs. If they did not amputate, she would have died.
Yeah, I got to tell you, this has ended up better than I thought, though, because I know that sounds really insensitive, but I thought that it was a mistake in the hospital. That was what I was worried about.
Yeah, I kind of gathered from your reaction that's...
That would have... Oof.
And you know, that happens when they operate on the wrong side of the body. It still happens. God. Heard a story in South Africa just recently.
Oh, no.
Really?
Oh, shucks.
Yeah.
Like they get the wrong arm, like your left arm needs to be amputated, but they take off the right one?
Yeah.
Oh. Please let this never happen to me. I'm in a tattoo stuff on me that says, check this is the right arm. No, because if I put that on the left, they're going to think I mean the right.
That's a bit of a problem.
Pretty scary.
That woman didn't have medical aid, so the operation cost her an arm and a leg. That's from Carl.
Okay.
Sure.
Thanks for that, Carl.
A great poem being submitted here by Carla van der Vestesen, If by Rudyard Kipling.
Oh, yes.
Which I can still remember off by heart. We had to learn that at school. We had a teacher called Mr. Little who made us learn it. Yes.
He sounds like he's from Mr. Men.
Great teacher. I love the guy. Have you seen Stallone's Daughters, says somebody. Forget this poetry shit. This is from Wendell. Wendell says, forget about the poetry. Look up Sylvester Stallone's Daughters.
No, I have not.
Holy shit.
Are they hot?
Yo!
This is not... You do not want to talk about Stallone's Daughters.
Because he's not an oil painting.
My daughter. My daughters.
Oh, okay.
Very pretty, huh? Come on. Come on, Sia. Don't be like that.
I don't know so much.
You don't think so?
No, there's a one pretty... Oh, sorry. Okay, yeah, I can rank them from best to worst.
Okay, go.
Out of the three.
All right, go ahead, Sia.
Well, I don't know their names.
They're just very typical, the typical measurements of beauty. But, so they've got long hair, they're skinny, they've got good eyebrows,
which
makeup.
Means they're gorgeous.
Yeah, so what's wrong with that, Leanne? I mean, really?
You're making it sound like there's something wrong.
And you know what? It's also the juxtaposition of having him in the photo, because as mentioned, he's not an oil painting.
Hey, I mean, don't say that about Smoothie.
Mm-hmm. Well, his wife is also gorgeous. Oh, but that's some good work done, girl. And I'm not hating. I'm not hating on any of them. She's absolutely gorgeous. She's like,
who do you think's had more work done, Sylvester Stallone or his wife? There's a good question.
Well, whoever operated on Sylvester Stallone needs to be checked.
Yeah, I wouldn't call it good work done, but yeah.
You know what? These daughters, well done. Thank you very much, Wendell. You have filled us in on something we did not know before, and you have added value to my life, certainly.
Okay, I see what the fuss is, though. They've created an Instagram gallery or a couple of posts of all of them on the beach.
Yes. The Stallones.
There's Sophia Stallone, Scarlett Stallone, and Sistine.
What is this thing with parents that they name all their kids with one letter of the alphabet? Have people become so stupid?
I did that with my cats.
That's your cats.
This is too personal. I come from a family like that.
Really? I mean, like the Kardashians, you guys, the Stallones.
Well, all the men in my family have the initials SS, and all the women have the initials ZS.
That's because you had a Nazi family member who was in the SS. Isn't that it? No. Sorry, I take that back. I know you didn't want people to know that. I'm sorry, Sia. Gareth, I once went into hospital for my wisdoms to be removed. That's from Joe. Listen to this. While waiting in the ward, a nurse came up to me and asked me if I'd been shaved for the op. I'm female, and I don't have a moustache, so I can only imagine the confusion. I was terrified and didn't know what I was going to come out with, having been removed, if not my teeth. Jesus, Joe,
Oh, my gosh. So many questions.
Some poetry suggestions. I think we've started some here. Listen, this is not the Maya Angelou show. Let me remind you all these poetry people who are suggesting poems now. It was just a thing that came up. We don't need to hear. Someone says The Road Not Taken by Robert Frost. Mm. Someone says Araya Mountain Dreamer. Mm.
Snaps.
Someone says, I think the poem is incredible. Simple and yet impactful. I love it. I am the beach and I don't give a fuck. Well, you know what? You have just shattered my illusion that you were a smart person. Just like that. Gugu staring at jock straps in what? Whoever this is, let me read your name. Craig, you are illiterate.
Yo. First it was Kucho, now it's Craig. Carry on. Say amazing things about our listeners. Please do.
Forget Sylvester Stallone's daughters. Yeah, this is from Et. He says, check out Leonardo DiCaprio's new 22-year-old girlfriend.
And Leonardo's 44, might we add.
Yes, Leonardo DiCaprio's awesome.
I've never lusted after a man for so many years of my life.
Really?
Really?
Yeah.
Tell us about your lust.
Tell us. Just from when he was a little boy until now, where he's still got a baby face, but I just adore him.
Look, I know
I think he was one of the most underrated actors ever.
Well, he's not underrated. He gets loads of awards and people
respect
him.
He didn't get an Oscar until a couple of years ago.
Because he didn't do the retarded kid thing until then.
Great. What's Eating Gilbert Grape?
Yeah. Mm. As soon as you do the retarded kid, Hollywood goes, oh, this is amazing.
I know it's very basic. I used to think Leo was gorgeous up until Django Unchained. Oh, I can't look at him the same way.
If I was black and I'd be very upset.
I know it's a character and he was acting, but if I was stuck in the same room as him, I wouldn't look at him in the eyes, I'd say.
See, that was brave though. That was brave of him because he knew he'd be making a bunch of people very uncomfortable, but he did it anyway.
I'm looking at his girlfriend and I think he could do better.
Well, we aren't surprised. Leonardo always goes for the proper model type.
Mm. Yes, and why shouldn't he?
Yeah.
He's worked very hard. Why does he have to be with some old crone his own age?
Well, you mean like me? Thanks.
Leon, don't thank him personally.
Like I said, an old crone.
Can I talk about just...
Leanne is so upset right now. She just spat out her false teeth at me.
Just very quickly, do you want to roll your eyes at this sick and twisted criminal in the Bronx in New York?
I just made the most horrible old man
noise.
Yeah,
you did. That works.
So I'm in no position to call Leanne an old crone.
No, cancelled.
There is a woman in the Bronx who has now been caught by authorities because of her trend in how she commits her burglaries.
Is she from the Bronx like AOC?
AOC?
Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. Fuck.
I thought you were going to say like Jenny from the block.
No, she was from... Is she from Brooklyn or the Bronx?
She's from the Bronx.
Don't be fooled by the rocks that I got. I'm still Jenny from Queens.
Gareth is going to annoy me so much this morning.
Go on, Sia. I'm sorry to interrupt you. Carry on.
So her name is Latonya Stewart.
Latonya.
Yes, okay. And she does look like a proper typical Latonya. She's 26 years old. This is how she breaks into people's homes. Latonya will look at the news reports of who has died in the area that week. You know those old school funeral announcements?
Such a low level.
She will find out when the funeral or memorial service is happening, so she knows that the family's out of the house at that time.
Brilliant.
And she goes in and breaks into those homes.
She's
how horrible
evil.
She is.
Good for Latonya.
So these people come back mourning and their shit's been stolen.
26-year-old Latonya Stewart.
Nice mugshot, Latonya.
She breaks into people's homes by looking at their obituaries. She now knows what's going on, who's at which service. She can calculate what church they're at.
And if you think about it, if she finds the whole family, she could get at least 6 households.
Yeah. That's amazing. Give her credit. That's creative. People always give, I know Tom. He's so creative because he drew a picture of something. Here's this woman. She goes through the obituaries, finds the people who are dying, dead. Goes at the same time as the memorial. This takes a lot of planning. She must be sitting there with newspapers and cokey pens. And I think I left this one over here. Oh, here, I got to be in 45th Street by noon. I got to be in the Bronx. I got to be downtown at 4:30 a.m.
It's admirable and also so sick. She was found, was caught in the act. In a home when she had an obituary in one hand as well. And she also had her baby in a car seat while she was really...
While she was robbing somebody.
So she's now facing 22 counts of burglary, grand larceny, criminal possession of stolen property. And she's going to appear in court on August the 13th.
She doesn't care. She'll never atone for this. She doesn't give a damn.
What a horrible person.
On the issue of having the same letter for all your children, all their names, well, this is on that issue. This is from Sandile, who says, "My siblings and I also have the same initials, SS, so getting mail used to be really confusing."
Yes.
S Sangweni all get a letter and you open up your dad's mail.
My mum's initials are N-E for Nola Elise. Yes. And often we used to get phone calls in those days saying, is Annie van der Stutt at home?
Annie van der Stutt.
Yes, well, there's me, there's my brother, there's my dad.
Well, this is another... very, very exciting thing that's come in on the SS thing. Nothing wrong with having kids of the same letter. Let me ask my kids, Simone and Smichael, quickly.
Smichael and Smarith and Smeanne.
All right, JD's on Skype. Hey, JD, what's up?
Hey, G, what's up?
What's going down, man?
Good, man. It's Friday.
Yes, are you excited?
Of course. Who's not excited on a Friday? Except for Leanne, of course.
Yeah, she likes Mondays.
It's basically Monday.
Hey, I just wanted to bring up, I know it's No Politics Friday, I just wanted to bring up, yesterday you guys were talking about Reverend Sharpton.
Yes,
what and the a, way he always homes in like a shark in these situations.
I'm so here to represent the black community.
Shouldn't we call him Reverend Sharkton?
Yes, good point, well put. Very good.
That's what he does.
I like
he looks
that.
For blood in the water and then he goes in like a shark.
That's it.
Yeah. So from this point on, he's Reverend Sharkton.
There we go.
Alright, my man. Thank you.
All right. Have a good ride. Right.
Bye-bye.
So did you hear that another Kennedy has bitten the dust?
Oh, shit, no. This poor family. You're kidding me.
It's... Okay, so let's give some background. You know it the best.
Yes.
All the Kennedy mishaps.
All right. Do you want to go through
untimely deaths.
You want to go through them?
You do.
No, it'll take the whole show. You just give us the synopsis.
Okay, well, let me start with the latest. She's the granddaughter of Robert F. Kennedy.
Hi.
She's 22. Was 22.
Oy.
So really untimely death.
So young.
Unfortunately, there are no details. It's the family has released a statement. Her name was Saoirse Kennedy Hill, the daughter of Robert and Ethel Kennedy's fifth child. They released a statement saying that there was a death at the family's compound in Massachusetts. And
they're all that compound. I'm telling you, there's something in the air there.
Yeah. Apparently, Saoirse Hill was passionate about human rights and women's empowerment and worked with indigenous communities to build schools in Mexico. And the statement quoted her 91-year-old grandmother, Ethel Kennedy, as saying the world is a little less beautiful today. So we just know that the Kennedy family it's almost a plague or a curse. Of untimely deaths.
Yeah, I mean, look, everybody dies, and Kennedys will die just like any other people, but this family has a particularly tough track record.
Yeah.
It's really not great. All right, well...
Anyway.
Sorry about that. And no, Uncle Ted, we're not going to cross to you now. He's sitting on the line hoping we'll come to him.
There isn't time.
That's his highlight in heaven.
Ryan Van Espey is an adrenaline junkie. Let's get to know a little bit more about something we don't cover enough on this show. We don't get into action sports. Did you know that the world's greatest mountain biker is a South African? It's a multiple world champion from Maritzburg, a guy called Greg Minnaar. I bet you didn't know that the most challenging mountain bike race, the Cape Epic, is internationally unrivaled as a pinnacle mountain bike event. It's only logical South Africa would eventually incubate some global industry disruptors in the field of mountain bikes and other action sports, from BMXing, there's mixed martial arts. You've probably heard of these, but you don't know much about them. So let's figure it out with an adrenaline junkie who we brought into the studio this morning, Ryan Van Espey. How are you, man? You good?
Very good, and you? Thanks for having me.
Lekker, dude. So what do you do?
So I've obviously got a massive passion for action sports, all action sports.
I thought you were going to start off with, I've obviously got a lot of broken bones.
That's happened. So that has happened. Not so bad. Yeah, so I've got a massive passion for all action sports. Obviously do a couple of action sports myself, and ultimately run an online publication that focuses on action sports.
Okay.
So that's my passion and what I do.
Is this LW Mag?
Yeah, that's correct.
Okay, what does the LW stand for?
Locally Whipped. So we started as a print magazine back in the day with core focus on local content, so right. Whipped on local culture, locally whipped.
I think I might even remember Whipped.
You should.
Yeah. I thought it was Whiplash.
So would you consider warrior obstacle courses as an action sport?
No, so that's more of an adventure sport.
Okay.
Action sports is more on the extreme sports side, where you look at X Games. So like Gareth mentioned, BMX, surfing, snowboarding, skating, that side of things, and downhill mountain biking.
So you did BMX,
you did
motocross,
I do,
enduro, downhill mountain biking.
Yep.
Yo, that looks hectic.
It is hectic.
It sounds great. You don't have to cycle.
Downhill
You'd
mountain.
You think, hey.
Downhill. Do you know how deadly a rock suddenly
I'd
becomes?
I said it to just get a reaction.
It is deadly. It is deadly. And like you said, one of the best in the world.
Hold on. You're so insensitive today. What is wrong with you?
So yeah, one of the best in the world is a South African, Greg Minnaar. He's actually racing this weekend.
Right. And what about this Theo Erlingson? He's also Southern.
He's a new up-and-comer. He's actually racing this weekend as well. First year racing the full circuit overseas. So that's going to be interesting. He's really, really good. And does a lot of the Fest series where the guys actually jump 90-foot gaps on mountain bikes.
That's amazing.
Motocross jumps on mountain bikes.
Just tell me quickly, because you just got back from South Africa snowboarding and skiing. They had like an Ultimate Ears Winter Whip Snowboard and Ski Festival, right?
That's correct. So that's an event we've been running
in
the last 6 years. In Lesotho at AfriSki. Yeah. So it's obviously a very unique event. I mean, it's snowboarding and skiing in Africa. Yeah. We've been running over the last 6 years. We get a host of the local riders to come together and do a slope style event, which is basically a freestyle event. Yeah. So we get a park built up there with jumps and rails and stairs, and we send the riders down on a jam format style competition.
Is there enough snow?
There is. So AfriSki is a very, very special place. So the slope is open to the top, and when I say open to the top, it's a 1 kilometer long slope. But I mean, it's snow in Africa. You can't expect it to be something that you're going to see in the French Alps.
Sure, of course.
But it is a full-blown ski resort, so it does offer everything that you can get overseas. There has been seasons where it does snow a lot and the full mountain range is covered. You just never know what's going to happen up there. But AfriSki does have a bunch of snowmaking machines, the same snowmaking machines you'll see in the Alps, that they have there. So if they need to make their own snow, they can.
Okay. So in other words, you're not going to go there in winter and be disappointed.
No, not a chance. I mean, I think one night last week they made 3,600 tons of snow in one night. So they can make enough.
And it's not icy?
No. So they've got proper snow groomers. Everything's there. I mean, it really is amazing. We've been to ski resorts overseas and obviously AfriSki a couple of times. And obviously there's differences, but AfriSki is a proper resort.
Can you snowboard?
I can.
Wow.
Not like the guys at Inter our comp.
No, sure.
So we just make sure we run it. And the cool thing is we actually have a lot of, obviously there's a lot of South Africans riding. We have a lot of Lesotho locals riding. But this year we had international snowboard pro Anton Bosch from Sweden riding. He actually rides under a South African flag because his parents are South African.
Okay.
I was going to say, cool. With the surname of Bosch.
Yeah. And then the girl that won is a Japanese girl. So we had a couple of internationals out there as well, which is really cool.
So, okay, how popular is all this stuff in South Africa? Because we know people are you know, mad about rugby and cricket and football and
conventional
blah, blah,
sports.
Blah. Yeah, I'm not. So you don't have to explain to me.
Well, you're on my side then. Yeah. So, I mean, action sports, I think, is always going to be a bit smaller just because it's got such a niche market. But it also has got a good following in terms of what people want to see, you know, and what they relate to. So, I mean, skateboarding is really, really big here. Other sports are growing, like motocross and BMX. Obviously, snowboarding is going to be one of the smallest ones because our winter season at Everski is 3 months long.
It's very short.
You know, so, I mean, for us to have 64 entrants this year is a lot. If you compare to like some of the if you look at X Games, they probably get, I mean, there's chosen athletes, but they probably have 20 to 30 riders going. So for us to have that many riders come on board and join, you know, the events and help grow it is just amazing. So
are they always inventing new sports and things too? Because adventure sports seems to me to get a bit of a cold shoulder from the more conventional sports. Yeah. They almost consider them like a threat in some way.
I think so. I mean, there's lots of things that come across and get invented and it probably works for a year or two, then it just dies off. So, you know, people are trying new things all the time. I think adapting to sports or what sports have been is something that's been happening and working. So if you look at freestyle motocross, that's kind of a sport that has died in a way, but now they've changed it to more of a free ride type of thing where they're still doing the same thing, but more, instead of on a built course, they're doing it out in the open on hills in the middle of nowhere, just more of a free riding type of thing. And that's getting a lot of traction. So I think adapting to what it has been is what's changing and growing.
Well, what would you say to someone who is, let's say someone's really young and they want to get into one of these things, like where's the best entry point?
Well, eventually, if you look at snowboarding, the best entry point is obviously on Southern Africa side to get to Afriski.
Yeah.
The bonus of that is it's local. It's a lot cheaper than going overseas. The guys there do run training camps for, you know, up-and-coming riders.
But in stuff like BMX, I mean, is the equipment really expensive?
It's not. I mean, if you're going to buy a pro setup, it is going to be expensive. But for something like BMX or even skateboarding, you don't need that to start out with. So, I mean, if you're looking, you know, at spending a minimum amount of money just to get into the sport, it is possible. And it is actually easier to get into those type of sports than it isn't to get into, you know, some of the conventional sports.
So you're an adrenaline junkie. What are the most incredible things you've done? Skydiving, base jumping. I mean, like, what kind of shit?
No, I wouldn't say I've done a lot of that. I haven't skydived. I'm petrified of heights.
Are you?
Yeah.
He's human. It
makes no sense. Like,
you'll do downhill biking.
I think it's different because I'm in control of the equipment.
Yeah.
So it's a bit different. So yeah, I grew up racing BMX. I've been overseas racing BMX, ride motocross now for fun. We do a couple of races for fun every now and then, and then obviously down to mountain biking and enduro mountain biking.
My first boyfriend was a motocross driver.
May he rest in peace.
I don't know.
Was his name Daryl?
No, it was...
Beryl?
Carl Lotter.
Carl.
Carl, like your dog?
Oh, right, Carl.
Yeah, and okay. And also... The whole family of action sports is at the top of my mind at the moment because I'm doing a campaign for something called For the Formula K Racetrack. Have you heard of it?
I haven't.
Formula K is karting.
Oh, yeah. Could you call that extreme?
Yeah, these are like just before they aren't the normal karts that you're talking about.
Because I've been go-karting with you and
no,
it's pretty slow.
These are like...
Full-on carts.
Full-on carts.
Oh, wow.
Like...
It's a worldwide...
Okay, wow.
Yeah, so this
it's like a
this
whole
park
new
is in Benoni.
World for me.
And it's got a BMX course.
It's a reason to go to Benoni.
Yeah. BMX, mountain biking, warrior obstacle course, skid pan.
Formula K, huh?
And it's huge. So it's the first
park.
Internationally approved race course.
That looks amazing.
That's quite cool.
So it's pretty. I said it's really top of mind.
Are we gonna go and race?
Yeah, we gotta go. Hey.
Yeah, I'm keen.
I'm gonna wave the checkered flag.
I wanna go kart race against Sia.
No, I wanted to wave the flag. I'll put on my shorts. I'll show some heavage. That's the best thing that I can do.
This has just gone from extreme in one direction to extreme in the other.
No, because I, you know, they say like adrenaline starts pumping and you love that anticipation. I find no thrill in something like that at all. So I wonder for you, Ryan, is the anticipation of I could hurt myself, but I don't. Does that excite you? Is that what?
I think it's a mix of all of it. I mean, if you look at doing something new, obviously it scares you. And once you've done it, the adrenaline rush from that is much bigger than any high you can think of.
Like
so
that.
It's hard to explain. So I just think that's something you live for. But yeah, I mean, once you're in the sport, you're in the sport.
How badly have you hurt yourself?
Funny enough, most of my injuries are from BMX, so broken leg, broken wrist, broken ribs.
It's like going over the handlebars and that kind of
thing.
I reckon, you know what, these sports, they're taking off because they're popular, people love them, people enjoy the thrill, and like the fact that the sport is not your standard run-of-the-mill stuff. It's awesome. Good.
Yeah, it's entertaining.
Yeah. Good luck to you guys. I think it's awesome that you've got this magazine that takes an interest in these things and lets people who want to know get online and find out more and show off some of our local heroes, because these guys are doing well.
Yeah, and it's bigger than you think.
Huger than you think. Are there a lot of women who take part in these things?
There is. It depends on the sport. I mean, obviously, the freestyle motocross, there's none here, but there's actually quite a few females getting involved overseas, which is awesome. There's one running X Games this weekend at the moment. It depends on the sport. So skateboarding here, there's quite a lot of girls running skateboarding here, which is awesome. Snowboarding, we had 8 girls into this year, which was great. So yes, there is. It just depends on the sport, I suppose. It's just, you know, what attracts the girls to different things.
Haven't you got a little kid?
I do.
How old is he?
3.
3, okay. So
he kills it on a bike.
Already?
I was going to say, have you already got him on wheels?
Yeah, I mean, he loves going to the bike park, which is awesome. Wakes up every morning and rather go to the bike park than to school.
My brother took the funniest video of his 6-year-old. I think he's 6. Yeah, he's 6. Yeah, 6 now.
6 or 9 or something.
No, I can never remember. He took him to the bike park, and I've got this bumps that you go over and everything, and he's doing all of it and going really well, and then right at the end, while he's like waving to his mom, he like loses balance and boom.
Shame,
my brother made this video. We looked at it over and over again, and his little brother, who's 3, thinks it's hilarious. Just look at him fall.
That's so funny.
Yeah, I suppose you gotta have those scrapes and bumps and falls in order to appreciate it. Alright, well, very nice to meet you, man.
Thank you, thanks for having me.
Cool. Good to chat to Ryan van der Spey, and you can go and check out the publication we were talking about, lwmag.co.za. That's lwmag.co.za. All right, Leanne, anything else you want to throw in? What else is going on?
Oh, just that doctors found this 7-year-old boy in India. He was complaining of jaw pain. So they took an X-ray.
What is it with you and these medical weird...
Oh, I love it.
You love it,
oh,
huh?
I love it. He was found with, can you guess how many teeth in his mouth?
You're meant to have how many?
I think it's 30-something or something.
How many teeth? I mean, I'm not going to actually count now.
But how many do you think you could fit in there? I'll take you out of your misery. He had 526 teeth.
What?
Including...
Show me what he looked like right now.
Most of them were...
Did he have 3 layers?
God. In a sack, in his gums, with all of these tiny teeth floating around in this big sack.
That is appalling.
I just can't.
That's gross.
So he looks a lot better now.
What did he look like before? Have you got a picture of his face? Because you just showed me an
X-ray. It's a stupid website with a pop-up thing. So I'm trying to get to it, but yeah, basically I'm annoyed.
Show us the freak. How many? 500 teeth.
Here's a picture of all the teeth that were extracted.
Oh, no, that's disgusting.
They've arranged them in a...
Like a spiral.
A spiral, which has 9 layers.
9 arms
and
on
these,
the spiral,
these teeth vary in size. But, yeah, this...
Yeah.
His parents noticed swelling in his jaw when he was about 3 years old.
Oh, at least they noticed.
But
500 teeth.
He wouldn't.
It's like a shark.
They say he wouldn't stay still or allow doctors to examine him. It's like tie the kid down. Get rid of those teeth.
Imagine what they would have thought in medieval times of a person with 500 teeth. Straight out of hell. You are the devil.
Yeah, they would have burnt you.
Burnt you for sure, right? Mm.
So let's be grateful that we have our jaws intact.
Are you
and
just,
no
are you
sacks
just
of
massaging
teeth.
Your jaw?
Yeah,
now
I'm massaging my imaginary sack of teeth.
Ugh, so gross. So gross.
So.
Ugh. All right. Well, thank you. That's very good. George Meany is on Skype. Hey, George. What's up?
Hey, Gareth. Good and you?
Good, good, good. What's happening in motoring this week?
Well, what's happening in motoring is people are getting away with fines more than ever before, I think.
Yes, lawlessness. General lawlessness.
General lawlessness. Between May and mid-July, the Gauteng Police or Police Traffic Department, 3,336 drivers were caught. And between these 3,336 drivers, 13,568 warrants were outstanding for their arrest, amounting to about 30 million rand.
That is insane, right?
Absolutely insane. But what drivers don't understand is that you can actually get arrested if you get stopped and the warrant has been issued. You can be detained, and there's some controversy over, you know, showing you that the warrant has been issued, but the police can reasonably detain you until such time as they get their hands on that warrant.
I think that, you know, this is really important. People have to pay their fines, because if you get caught in one of those roadblocks, it doesn't go well. It's not a good situation to be in. And as much as I hate funding the Metro Police in any which way, because I do think a lot of them are crooked and wretched people, we've got to follow the rules. We've got to try and be good citizens. We've got to try and do the right thing. And it doesn't seem to me a good enough excuse to go, oh, well, I don't pay my fines. Right?
I don't think it's a good enough excuse. Absolutely right. Because, you know, everything else aside, the infrastructure aside, the government aside, at the end of the day, the traffic laws are there for our safety. And love them or hate them, they're there for a reason. And, you know, it doesn't mean you must go lawless and you're going to put someone else's life in danger. So the fine's there for a reason. Nonetheless, taxi drivers in South Africa have over 30 million rands of fines outstanding as well.
Well, we know that taxi drivers are the worst, right?
They are absolutely the worst. But there is something on the horizon which I think will stop minibus taxis from overloading or being driven recklessly. There's a startup, a local South African startup called Quick Lock 8, QUICKLOC 8.
Yeah.
And they're developing hardware and software that can track and monitor. So this is for taxi owners and the taxi association, that can track and monitor whether the taxi is overloaded and whether the driver is driving recklessly, and they can remotely and safely cut the power to the taxi when the taxi is stationary.
Oh, wow. But couldn't that also be dangerous, like if they're on the highway?
Well, when the taxi is stationary and safely.
Okay, sorry. I didn't understand. I'm an idiot.
Gotcha. Well, I think Quick Lock 8 should get this into the market as quickly as possible.
That's awesome. All right. I like that idea. Very nice.
I love that. Yeah, absolutely love that idea. And then, you know, people complain about the cost of motoring going up all the time.
Yeah.
And there's been some research done, and the cost of motoring as an average monthly basket over the last 5 years has gone up from 6,144 rand to 7,851 rand. That's 28% increase, which if you divide that over five is roughly inflation, and in the last year has only gone up by 3%, which is lower than the average over the last 5 years.
Okay.
So people complain about the increased cost of motoring, but what they're doing is they're compensating, besides the industries compensating, people are compensating by buying cheaper cars or downgrading in tough times. But it's not only consumers that have made the cost relatively flat or in line with inflation. It's also the insurance companies and the banks. I mean, vehicle insurance installments have only gone up 40% over the last 5 years, which, if you divide that across 5 years, is a very low number.
So, in other words, are you telling me that's good news?
You know what? In a complaining society, I always look for the good news. And if something is tracking below inflation,
all right,
that's a good thing, right?
You know what, George? I was not expecting this. I'm completely caught off guard. I expected bad news on this story, but look at you. You've surprised me, as usual.
Love it.
All right, I like
as
it.
As usual.
Awesome. Very good. Are there any other good news stories, or am I pushing my luck now?
Whether it's a good news story or not, I don't know. But I don't know if you saw the YouTube or a video did the rounds on in Gauteng at the safari park in Hartbeespoort, where a group of lions surrounded a car.
Yes.
And one of the lions decided to perch himself on the car.
I saw that video.
And the car decided to begin reversing, and eventually the lion left the car. But imagine being surrounded by these brutes that could probably get into the car if they really, really wanted to.
And eat you. This is very important. People don't understand, especially foreign tourists. With peace and love, foreign tourists, I would like to remind you that lions like to eat people.
Mm.
Isn't that right, George?
Exactly. Do not get out of the car. And then lastly... if you like classic cars, there was a classic car in the park event at Swartkops Raceway.
Oh, yeah?
In Pretoria. And
did you go?
It's organized. Pardon?
Is it still coming up, or did you go?
No, I didn't go. Okay. And it's organized in Pretoria every year. And spectators can expect to see all kinds of classic cars, including Steve McQueen's Mustang 390 GT.
Oh, wow. Okay. That's pretty cool.
So it is still coming up, and it's on the 4th of August, and admission price is R100.
Sounds awesome.
Trader doesn't have anything to do with it, but I thought it was an interesting thing you're into classic cars.
You know, this is what we like about you. Even if it isn't Auto Trader specific, you still fill us in. That's very cool. Yeah. All right, George Meany, thank you so much, sir.
Thank you very much, Gareth.
Have an excellent day. There we go. And good weekend. George Meany means it's Friday, and it means we're out of here. So thank you very much. Have a happy day, and behave yourself.
Don't play the fool. Please obey the rules. Because I will always be your friend. If your car breaks down, then I will lend you engine. So please don't offend your traffic cop friend.
I don't know what we just experienced there.
I don't know either, but I kind of liked it. Thanks, everybody.
This is CliffCentral.com.